Where this Dr. Stan back here at Radio Libby, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station we're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us on the line James Sundquist, and we're going to be talking about what's happening to the Christian church today. Because those of you who listen to our program regularly will realize that we are involved in a spiritual struggle for the souls of men and the survival of Western civilization. And if you want to attack Christianity, would you be better to attack it from without or from within? After all, what's the most efficient means of destroying a house? Why, you want to get to its foundation. What's the most efficient means of destroying Christianity? Why, working within the Catholic Church. We've seen the evil that's within the Catholic Church, laid out by the pedophilia there, and of course the story of the satanic ceremonies there at the very heart of the Vatican. Those of you who don't know about that really need to get our four tapes up, The Wisdom of Malachi Martin. But you have to understand it's in the Protestant church, too. So don't sit back and gloat at the fate or the tragic fate of the Catholics. We have real problems in the Protestant church. And with that as the background, James, thank you so very much for being with us today.
Dr. Stan, great being with you again. That's two or three times I think I've been a guest.
All
the
right.
Last few years, I've been grateful to be a guest.
Well, why don't you tell our listeners just a little bit about how you got involved in studying what's taking place in the Protestant church today?
Well, I've been a student of scriptures, God's word, for about 50 years since I've been a Christian, but much more intensively in the last 10 or 15 years, more in a discernment ministry. And I didn't start out with the idea, I want to go pick fights with anybody. It had more to do with what I was witnessing going on in my own church, where new ideas were coming in that I didn't think lined up with Scripture, and I started wondering where these ideas came from.
But James, are you on a regular handheld telephone? We seem to have a rather poor connection. Go ahead.
No, I'm on a wireless handheld.
Do you have any way of getting to a hard line telephone?
Yeah, I can. If I do that, I will be not able to let go of the receiver. Which, if that helps you, I'll try to do that.
All right, that's fine. We'll do that just in a minute or two when we go to a break. So anyway, you notice these things were happening at your own church.
Yes, and then I didn't know who was behind the ideas. I just knew that the ideas themselves didn't line up with Scripture, and my wife shared the same view, and she goes through the Bible once a year, and so it was easy to detect when things were not in alignment with Scripture, and that's how we test everything. We try to be good Bereans, and then so it was upon investigating these new ideas and finding out where they came from, that's when the names came up. Then when someone would say we have want to bring this book in, of course you want to know, well, who's the author? And then we find out the author is Rick Warren, for Who's Driving Purpose Driven Life. And then so that's where you're able to get your hands on the book or his actually published ideas, or you see him on TV saying certain things or on the radio. And so that's how it began. And but in all honesty, it really began when I became a Christian, because I grew up in a conservative Baptist church that we did nothing but study Scripture from Genesis to Revelation.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment with James Sundquist. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Our guest today is James Sundquist, and he's written a book entitled Who's Driving the Purpose-Driven Church? There is a movement within Christendom today that has been blessed by Time Magazine, that has been blessed by Zondervan Publishing, Rupert Murdoch, who certainly I would never accuse of being a friend of Christianity. This movement, of course, is the purpose-driven church. In fact, this movement is sweeping the world. It's over in Africa. It has captured the imagination of ministers there. Rick Warren's been back to talk to our good friends at the Council on Foreign Relations, address the United Nations. They have a plan for Christianity, and Christianity is going to be used to change the world. But of course, they're getting away from a lot of the fundamental scriptures. In fact, as Rick Warren had said, the last thing most Christians need is another Bible study. What we've got to do is begin, of course, to apply what we know. In other words, this is almost like a work-based religion. Is that right, James?
Well, of course, if you were to ask them, they would say it's not works. They would try to defend that way. It really comes down to what they're trying to do with a blueprint. And then the scriptures they bring in or the false translations that they use to try to defend their programs. So the programs themselves, though they would ostensibly say they aren't, it's not works, they would say it's by faith, but then they proceed to make it about works in order to have your church grow, with this program, and then they start splicing in more and more scriptures, and then worse, they completely, as in the case of Rick Warren's purpose-driven life book, he not only doesn't uses poor, if not corrupt, translations, he actually misstates what the scriptures themselves actually say.
Well, I think really it's so important that people understand that we believe the scripture is the Word of God. But they use about 15 different translations. Many are not even translations. They're paraphrases. And they say they're all the Word of God. So if they're all the Word of God, then what is the Word of God? And when you have differences between the translations, what do you do? I mean, one of the best things you can do is, of course, have one translation of the Bible and memorize those verses. When you have 15 different translations, there's no way you can memorize those verses because they're all different. And I believe this is an intentional effort to confuse God's people. I think they're doing a great job. And they're leading us into a new religion, a religion, according to Rick Warren, that is going to transform the world. Well, this is Dr. Stan here. Our guest this afternoon is James Sundquist's book, Who's Driving the Purpose-Driven Church? And, of course, we carry the book. We think it's an important book. We carry Warren Smith's Deceived on Purpose. We have four tape sets on this. We have a DVD on Diaprax, a talk given by a good friend, Bob Klink. But this movement is sweeping the Christian church today. And the question is, are we bringing people into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Are we harnessing him into a worldwide movement supported by the Council on Foreign Relations, part of their movement to change the world? So you pick up the story there, James.
Well, this more recent thing, that development, as many of you know, you probably talked about it, Dr. Stan, is this new initiative on global warming to try to sign up. They've signed up some 80-some leading evangelical leaders to and a campaign to help stop global warming. And this is all presuming that the premise is even correct, that global warming is man-made.
Well, of course, the whole thing on global warming is simply a plan to destroy America, because if we were to have signed the Kyoto Protocol, we would have had to cut back on the utilization of fossil fuels and really destroyed our economy, markedly limited our use of the automobile, of electricity, and, of course, our whole society is founded on the readily availability of cheap energy, and they've already run intentionally and purposely and maliciously the price of electricity up. In fact, it was so cheap before, people didn't worry about it. And so they sold something to people here in California, where I live. My goodness, we are going to have to lower the price of electricity, and that we're going to bring in competition. And so that's how they sold the deregulation of electricity, which was aimed at increasing the price of electricity, and it's going along with this whole global warming scam. So why is this part of the purpose-driven church to get involved in the global warming bit?
Well, it should. It's part of Rick Warren's campaign, because it ties right in with his global peace plan, and this whole idea of the kingdom now theology, that we're going to have the kingdom of God on earth before Christ returns. That gets into theological areas, but once again, that without being the scientist is on the subject of global warming, it's not the call of the church. Scripturally, that isn't what our commission is. Our commission is to preach the gospel and make disciples of all nations. And if we're going to preach about anything global, we need to be talking about a global warning, WARNING, not global warming. And that warning would be warning them about the wrath of God to come, and that is going to be poured out upon the earth. And if these people that, like Rick Warren, think that the earth is going to be hot, is going to get warm now, wait till they see how hot it's going to get when the Lord strikes plagues on the earth, when a third of the forest will be set on fire and a third of the grass is burned. They haven't seen anything yet if they're worried about warming, but that will be sent in judgment. Again, something else Rick Warren is not teaching in his global peace plan.
Well, unfortunately, they've sort of changed the nature of God, and God is no longer a God of justice and judgment. Certainly, He is a God of love, but He's also a God of justice and judgment, and He is a God of vengeance. And they say, oh, that's the God of the Old Testament, that's not the God of the New Testament. And I would like to say, where does it say that God is not going to bring judgment on nations that have turned against Him? I was in Germany after the Second World War, and I saw the piles of rubble at what it must have been towns in Mainz and Frankfurt and in Nuremberg in Cologne. So, you know, the idea that nothing bad ever happens to Christians, I think, is the devil's own message. And I think that this is really sort of a feel-good religion. They've changed the music of the church. They've changed the message of the church, and the movement is sweeping the whole world, with the blessing of Rupert Murdoch, who owns Zondervan, who publishes the purpose-driven books, and, of course, the Council on Foreign Relations, and those who support the United Nations, which Rick Warren was asked to address.
Well, you're put in strange bedfellows. You're the kind of unholy alliances that these 80-plus evangelical leaders are signing are their... They're, you know, you talk about being in bed with Rome. Well, they're in bed with the United Nations and a bunch of other people that have a distinctly anti-Christian agenda. So to try to form these alliances with them, remember Jesus talked about beware of the leaven of Herod. A lot of people don't know what that leaven is, and what that leaven is forming spiritual religious alliances because of the fact that you have opposing worldviews that are in bed together, and that can only produce, in the end, the leaven of wickedness that can corrupt, and then absolute power will ultimately corrupt absolutely, right, Dr. Stan?
Absolutely. All right, fine. So basically, your book, Who's Driving the Purpose-Driven Church, really gets into the background of who's really behind this whole movement. What is the inspiration for this movement that is sweeping modern-day Christendom?
Well, from my book, I go into detail of the ideas that he's drawing from.
By he, you mean Rick Warren, of course.
Rick Warren, and I just, for example, his the covenants he makes people sign to be a member of his church.
Could you explain that? When you join the church, you have to sign a covenant, and what does that covenant commit you to?
Well, there's a lot of things, but it's you have to swear this allegiance for a unity of the church, and that you're not supposed to speak out against each other, and that, of course, would preclude if false teaching were there, or Rick Warren's would not even be accountable himself, because, of course, according to Matthew 18, so it exempts them from that. But the, one of the main covenants they sign besides this tithing pledge is the this personality profile that he calls shape. And that's where the ideas came from, Dr. Stan. That personality profile came from Carl Jung's teaching, who was an occultist, who he drew his ideas from personality profiling from a demon that he named Philemon.
Well, now, of course, but what about this? Was it a covenant or promise to tithe? Is it a promise simply to go along blindly with whatever the church is doing and not to be critical of it? What is this covenant? I mean, this idea that you are required to sign a covenant and you don't know the full implications of it? That sounds sort of like it is when you join Masonry. You're asked to make all these oaths, but they never tell you the meaning of the oaths.
Well, you don't know a lot of what's going on until it's too late. For example, right now in the Netherlands, the Saddleback of Europe is pushing the program over there that is basically the Saddleback Covenants, and we have accounts all over the United States and Canada well, for churches that refuse to sign these loyalty covenants. The covenant starts right, the first one you encounter, Dr. Stan, is at the very beginning of Rick Warren's 40 Days of Purpose book, Purpose Driven Life book, where he asks you to sign the covenant before you've even read the book. And you could imagine who would ever sign a contract before they read it first. But here he's asking you to sign this. And he's not accountable. He signed it, but then he's asking you to sign it. And you haven't read the book yet. You haven't even tested his teachings to see if they line up with Scripture.
But of course, James, they're being supported by ministers all across America. How could there be anything wrong with them?
Well, it comes right down to Dr. Stan, and narrow is the way unto life, and few it be that choose it, and wide is the highway to hell, and many will choose that. And Jesus said, when I return, will I find thee faith on the earth? And the Apostle Paul says, in the last days have become a great falling away. So if you had the majority following the narrow way, that would be one thing, but the majority the numbers do not equal righteousness. In fact, it'd be just, the Lord is talking about a remnant, the Apostle Paul is talking about a remnant, so we're talking about after this great falling away, you're going to have few in number. You're not going to have big numbers. The people talk about this great revival that's supposed to sweep the earth, but the fact is that the scriptures teach the very reverse will happen. Wickedness will wax worse and worse, and we have even Christians that are woe to them that call evil good and good evil. That's even going on inside of the church.
All right, well, now, what is basically wrong with the teachings of the purpose-driven church? I mean, don't they preach the divinity of Jesus Christ and of course, the crucifixion and the resurrection of Christ?
Well, you'll see that in their main documents on their own, either the churches that are involved, their corporate bylaws, are still on record in the church and the denominations. Those have not been, as a whole, tampered with. It is what he then preaches in places like the Ladies' Home Journal. It's a gospel of self, and there's nothing in there about Jesus Christ.
Now you're talking about the articles that actually Rick Warren wrote for the Ladies' Home Journal, but certainly since that's a secular publication, wouldn't you expect him to put in sort of warm, fuzzy things that really didn't say much of anything?
Well, I would expect the Ladies' Home Journal to do that, but it's a great opportunity for supposedly Rick Warren called America's pastor, and he would have a great opportunity to preach the gospel and lift up Jesus Christ. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto myself, Jesus said. And Jesus is lifted up at all in that article. In fact, he's teaching a gospel of self, which is the opposite of the gospel of self.
Well, I think it's very interesting that Time magazine has selected Rick Warren to lead the Christians in this country. And I'm suspicious of anything that Time magazine does, because they hate Christianity. They do everything they can constantly to undermine it. Why would they pick this great Christian leader to lead modern-day Christendom?
you want me to answer that or after the break?
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is James Sundquist. James, why don't you go ahead and answer the question that I proposed. Why would Time Magazine pick an evangelical Christian who is really totally dedicated to the gospel as America's primary minister?
Well, it's the world loves a peace that's of this world, and he's leading a global peace plan that is a peace plan of this world. So the world loves that kind of a leader. In fact, there'll be, at one time on the earth, people will give gifts to each other. They'll be the man of peace. People think that the global man of peace will be coming, as at least initially, as this diabolical Charles Manson type of character, when in fact when he is in his glory, he's going to be a leader that is going to be a man of peace, that everyone's going to wonder where he's been all this time. And so then naturally enough, they would like someone like that, but we're going to be hated for the sake of the gospel. So that is really it's natural enough for the Ladies Home Journal in the world, a publication, to stand behind that and name that. But that title, there's nothing in Scripture that says there should be a pastor of a nation, and let alone who anointed him pastor that was of any that had any credentials to do so. That did the church elect him? Dr. Stan, I mean, it reminds me of Jesse Jackson in a lot of ways. He's on all the television networks. He gets to speak everywhere. But who, under what authority is he held so lofty in such a lofty position?
I agree with you totally. Look, could you get on that hardline telephone for us while?
Yeah, I'll switch.
All right, fine. If you would, please. And of course, I shared the James's.
Yeah, I'm back to a hardline. Is that any better?
Ever so much better. Thank you. Excuse me. Your point about Jesse Jackson is excellent. Jesse Jackson does not represent the blacks of America, and many blacks resent him very much, but he is created for the as the potential leader of the blacks. Why? Well, first of all, he's a Mason. Secondly, he's a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. He's part of the ruling elite, and of course, they don't want the natural leaders of the black people to lead them. They want the leaders of the establishment to lead the blacks so that they can be manipulated, just exactly as the whites are manipulated, as the Hispanics are manipulated. They're manipulating everything. They're manipulating entirely our reality. And, of course, until the American people understand that the American media, whether it's the print media or the radio or whether it's the television or the movies, it's all manipulated. Until people realize that the American media is under control, you can't understand anything going on. We have a wonderful book written by a professor at the University of California in Berkeley called Ben Bekdakian, called The New Media Monopoly. And, of course, he points out that the media is controlled by five mega corporations. One of those is controlled by Rupert Murdoch, who, incidentally, is the man who published Rick Warren's books and has popularized them so widely across America. And why would one of the people, media mongols, who controls one of the largest networks of television and radio and print publications, he owns Zondervan, the Christian publisher, but no one, I think, would ever want to really accuse Rupert Murdoch of being an evangelical Christian. So why is he pushing Rick Warren? Well, we'll leave that to your imagination. We'll be back in just a moment with James Sundquist. All right, James, why don't you pick up the story there? And we've asked some provocative questions as to why Time Magazine would have picked Rick Warren to lead the Christian movement in America, and why Rupert Murdoch, who owns Zondervan, Christian publishers, but himself is certainly not an evangelical Christian in any manner or means. He publishes some of the most vile publications and pornographic things in the world. Why he would be, of course, pushing the same individual to lead the Christian movement. So pick the story up from there, James.
Well, he's come out with a book that is not going to get challenged. Even on conservative cable talk shows, for example, Fox News, and he wouldn't be questioned on Fox News because it would take a major hit on the sales of Purpose Driven Life book, selling approaching 30 million books now. And so you would think, well, of all the liberal news media out there, newspapers and cable, that perhaps we would get the truth on Fox. But Fox is owned by Rupert Murdoch. So do you think someone's going to get on there, they're going to have somebody on as a guest, and they're just going to go right through and tell you that why Rick Warren is a fraud, and his book is full of fraudulent teachings, and he's swindled church after church out of the funds, that, and then he claims that he's tithing it back to reverse tithing, giving 90%. But if you write a book of falsehood that is completely full of fraud and make a fortune off of it, and then say you're giving it back, first of all, you're just putting it out of one pocket and back to the other pocket, but still the same pair of pants. So you've got that going on with the sales of the book. And so it's hard to get the truth out. It's hard to even say, well, maybe there's some good things going on with this book or campaign, but can we at least look at the other side of the story? You're being censored left and right from being able to even tell another side of the story. Do you hear on the national news how many churches have purpose-driven members out of their churches because they refused to sign Rick Warren's covens? Have you seen that on the news?
You're talking about how many people have been forced to leave churches because they would not sign the covenant. But isn't this really already a management technique, a matter of control? Isn't this the same sort of technique that they use in the corporate world and in the government? And isn't this really all about making the minister, the church, the corporate manager, and everybody is subservient to him? Isn't this really what it's all about?
They it's so ironic because Rick Warren is so duplicitous on so many levels. He's saying it's not about you, and yet he's building up a kingdom, and all you hear is him bragging about his global peace plan. If it's not about you, then why is your name all over everything?
Well, of course, now what's wrong with the peace plan? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we did have global peace?
Well, we got several barriers in the way. First, Dr. Stan, things such as the curses that have not been removed that the Lord put on the earth that man is still under until Jesus Christ returns. You cannot reverse those curses until Jesus Christ himself returns.
But wouldn't it be wonderful if Christians were working to try at least to make a better world?
Well, the question then, that's an excellent question, but how do we make a better world? From my last reading of Scripture, it's we make a better world by making disciples of all nations, by bringing forth the gospel that people can pass from death unto life. Not just in passed from death into life in this life, but so that they might have eternal life. That's the kind of peace that the world does not know, that is our commission, Dr. Stan. That doesn't mean that we as Christians, you see somebody in Hungary, you should not shut up the bowels of compassion to feed them. So I'm not saying that we shouldn't be doing that. So I hope I answered that in part.
Well, I think the big thing is that what they are doing with this whole technique, it is a management technique, and everybody has to agree to go along with it. And if you object to the fact that they're changing the message of the Scriptures, and if you object to the fact that they're changing the music of the Scriptures, you are asked to leave the church. Is that right?
Yeah, and it's done without following Matthew 18, they don't. It's happened to two pastors of the New York State Assembly of God district. In fact, one of the district manager, superintendent, Pastor Saeed Adur was soundly dismissed for resisting this system's management in the Assembly of God headquarters that is also pushing Rick Warren's programs, which are general systems management theory.
And I think that basically people have to understand that this whole thing is based upon the management techniques of Peter Drucker, a transformational Marxist, and Peter Drucker wanted to teach people, bring people under control.
Hold it.
Okay, James, go right ahead there.
The Assembly of God, Thomas Trask, the superintendent of the whole United States, with his global vision, they don't even hesitate. They don't even disguise what they're calling it. They're calling it transformation. And as you, I think, have had Dr. Robert Klenk and maybe Dean Gotcher on your show, that transformation is that part of that systems management. It's socialistic based. It's scripturally based. And I just was astonished to see some of the people that Rick Warren has formed alliances with. Ken Blanchard, for example. In fact, he was touted by the Saddleback of Europe in the Netherlands, but he has endorsed New Age book after New Age book. He promotes the Mandela. In fact, I heard him speak at Assembly of God Church in Phoenix. I got the CD of it, and the first thing he gets up there, he promotes one false teacher after another. In fact, I have that documented in my Global Peace Plan documentary, which people have been wondering what I've been doing the last year since my book came out, and it's been writing this documentary on Rick Warren's Global Peace Plan versus Scripture, as well as we're counseling people all over the world whose lives, marriages, churches have fallen apart, and so I didn't think that's what I would be doing when I wrote, because I was fundamentally an author in biblical discernment, but I couldn't shut up the bowels of compassion toward these people when I get these calls and these emails. So some of my ministry shifted a little bit, Dr. Stan, since you had me even on the air some months ago.
And so what you're really trying to do is get people to understand. And of course, some of the churches are growing, and some of them are prospering, but some of them are losing an awful lot of people as the people become progressively disillusioned as they change the basic thrust of the church. And it becomes, it's very entertaining. And of course, the music is certainly exhilarating. It's the sort of music you'd hear on MTV. And with a loud beat and has a profound impact. And a lot of the young people certainly come because they just love to hear that. But of course, is it worshipful? Does it honor God? And I'd like to suggest that so much of this music does not honor God at all. It has a psychological impact, and as Aristotle had written, let me control the music of a society, and I can control society. And this rock music with a heavy beat, is being used today to have a profound impact on the minds of Christians across America. Well, our guest is James Sundquist. And James, would you like to get your telephone number? Would you like to get your address out there, your website, so people would know how to get in touch with you?
Yes. If you type in your Google search engine, type in James Sundquist, Sundquist, false teachers, our website will come up. Because if I were to recite it, it's hard to people write it down wrong. It's abrahamic-faith.com/James, and that would come up, but the easiest way is to do it that way. And then prophecying.com is got the
now wait a minute, how would anybody find that? We are going to have to spell it. Nobody would ever find that.
Prophecy.
Okay, prophecy.com. Okay, fine. Prophecy.com, and that's your website?
Prophecying. PROPHEZINE.com. And that way they can get direct access and download the Global Peace Plan, the 50-page documentary, Rick Warren's Global Peace Plan versus Scripture.
Prophecying.com. That's prophecying.com. And then, of course,
it's not intended to do that. In fact, if he addressed that, he would end up having to discuss, well, what's going to happen at the return of Christ. And as you know, that one of the main things that Jesus Christ, when he returns, is it's going to be a war. It's going to be a global war. It's going to be Armageddon. And there's going to be billions of people that are going to be killed by plague. They're going to die in war. And Jesus Christ is going to, interestingly enough, though, in all those passages in Revelation, the intent behind those plagues and those judgments is to get mankind to repent. at the end of each of those plagues, it says, and they repented not of their sorcery and their wickedness. And had they repented, God giving them a season to repent, but they didn't repent. So time after time, it's not unlike what happened in the plagues in Egypt, that each one of those, the Pharaoh could have repented, and there wouldn't have to be more plagues. So the idea was, it was actually merciful of God. He was actually giving a chance. He would that none perish. He doesn't talk about the wrath of the Lamb. Rick Warren doesn't, his global peace plan. He doesn't talk about judgment. In fact, if anything, he's saying that the fundamentalist Christians are one of the enemies of the 21st century church. And he says, and one of the things that they're afraid of each other, but he borne false witness against these fundamentalists, because I'm a fundamentalist Christian, because I believe the five fundamentals of the faith, which are the deity of Lord Jesus Christ, the virgin birth, blood atonement, the body resurrection, and the inerrancy of scriptures. And so people that are that true fundamental Christians that believe scripture don't fear man, they fear the Lord. So he's completely borne false witness against thousands of martyrs in this century alone.
Well, against God, too. I'm just very suspicious, because so much of the church today expects to usher in, quote-unquote, usher in the millennial kingdom and the return of Christ, and I believe what they're going to do, what they're being deluded into doing, is ushering in the Antichrist.
Well, I think you're absolutely right, Mike. Anything else you want to
say? That's all, thanks.
God bless. And okay, our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And certainly in our next newsletter, we're going to be talking about the current president of Iran, who belongs to a secret Iranian society that believes the only way that they will be able to usher in the Mahdi, and the Mahdi, of course, would be the Muslim leader who would lead the whole world into a world government under Sharia law, would be just to create chaos throughout the world.
And so you wonder why that Rick Warren thinks that he can form alliances with Muslims then.
Is he forming alliances with Muslims as well?
He says that he can do that in his global peace plan. It was published. That's not, you know, that's a fact. And so I addressed that in my global peace plan. The fact is that in Islamic countries, they don't build churches, they burn churches. And in the end, they're going to wipe out the Jews and the Christians. There's nothing in there for Christians. So the idea for him forming that those kind of alliances is just completely absurd.
Well, of course, tell me about the material that you put together. Is this in the form of a DVD? Is it a form of a book? What is it? What is the material that you've been working on these years?
Well, Dr. Stan, you offer my book, or at least maybe you ran out.
We still offer your book, and the book is called Who's Driving the Purpose-Driven Church? We think it's an excellent book.
Thank you very much. That book came out about a year and a half ago, and it's now in its fifth printing. And just before your call, someone called and they'd run out, another distributor, and so it's in its fifth printing, and we praise the Lord for that. But in the last year and a half, the document, it may be in print as a 100-page book. We're still working on whether we're going to be able to do that, but the fact is that you can get it right now by going to those websites. You can print it out. It's a 50-page documentary, and I go through point by point, line by line, all of the components of Rick Warren's peace plan, and I simply line it up with Scripture. So that's available right now, and that's what I've been doing in the last year and a half, besides counseling people that have been shattered, who's dismembered Christians been left in the wake of this purpose-driven ship by the propeller chewed to pieces these Christians.
Well, of course, I have certainly been criticized by ministers for putting on programs that are critical of Rick Warren, and it's been suggested that we shouldn't be critical, that we should just go talk to Rick Warren and tell him about our concerns. How would you respond to that?
That's an excellent question, Dr. Stan. Well, first of all, it's too late. His teachings are already made public. If it were a private matter, just between me and Rick Warren, I would go to him in private, and that would be appropriate, and you keep the circle as small as necessary. You don't bring the matter before the whole church if it can be dealt with privately. But it, when it comes to public teaching, and his teachings is already public, that then Matthew 18 doesn't apply then. Paul would say these teachings must be silenced.
Well, now, of course, the question then arises, how have these people you've been talking to and you've been counseling, how have they been affected by what happened in their churches and by being asked to leave the church because they didn't want to go along with this a purpose-driven church scenario?
Well, they've lost their whole social network, which was their church. They've lost a place where they can fellowship. They've lost where they, at one time, were studying the scripture. I just got an email from a friend that they were told by their purpose-driven church to stop teaching a Bible study at their house. And the reason being, they want them to teach this, if I put it bluntly, this propaganda, because it's a threat. Because if you teach just scripture, you're going to find out that what Rick Warren is telling you is not true. And so that's a threat. But these people's lives have been broken apart. They feel like they've been told that they're the one with the problem, when in fact the people that brought this teaching into the church are the ones that need to be marked and identified. They're the ones that brought the problem and the split in these churches, not simply the messenger, as Paul would, the apostle would say, I'm now therefore the enemy because I tell you the truth. So these people don't know what to do. They're looking for somewhere else that they can fellowship. And so we get calls all the time, is there any church in their town that they can go to that is not purpose-driven anymore, and they can't find one. So a lot of them have been without a church for months and years now in some cases. So they end up finding people in other states. They find it where they can get it, to be real honest, Dr. Stan.
Well, now, what about the music? What impact does this change in music, the heavy beat of the music, the drum beat, the psychological impact of the music, what part does that play in this new Christianity that we have across America?
Well, they're trying to cater to a younger and younger audience, and it's no secret that the older people that are considered the pillars in the church in the older ways, they're standing in the way. They call them their resistors, and they're trying to cater to this younger and younger audience, so they want to do the music that they like, and so they're virtually auditioning them to find out what they want, and then they're giving them what they want in this kind of music. One has to be careful about how loud and whether they use a drum or whatever. It has more to do with how physiologically you're being assaulted by the music. Number two, is it done in the worship, in the spirit of holiness? Does it bring a contrite heart? Does it cause a person to be prostrate before the Lord? I was just listening to the speech by one of the head of the Assembly of God Church in San Diego that was he was speaking in Nairobi, and he was talking about, and I just finished listening to the tape before you called, Dr. Stan. He was talking about not making people feel guilty in the church, and the idea is you don't make them feel guilty, you make them feel good, then the church will grow. But the fact is guilt, it can be a very holy, noble thing. And are you going to be feeling guilty when you're standing up on the guitar and you're on the stage and with your electric guitar and smashing it in the amplifier and having smoke bombs go off and people moshing, having moshing pits where they're passing bodies up and down through the aisles and down in the pits? Is that producing a contrite heart, a holiness, and the fear of the Lord? Is it going to do that? That's the question you should ask. If it's not doing that, then you need to be reassessing what you're doing with the music. And I'm a classical guitarist myself, and people say, well, just sour grapes. It's just because it's not your kind of music. So you're just bitter. Well, the fact is that I would put my instrument away if it was causing division. If I saw half the congregation leave because the music was assaulting them, then I'd be happy to just pray with them or cry with them, read the scripture with them, break bread with them. But I wouldn't have to assault him with my instrument.
What part do you think the having so many different translations the Bible does as far as our belief that the Bible is the Word of God? You know, does this really tend, 15 translations, some of them which are, of course, just paraphrases, does that really, of course, strengthen people's belief in the Scriptures as the holy Word of God, or does that begin to raise questions in their mind?
It raises questions, as it happened with me with, I taught a Bible study in a rest home, a retirement home, and ladies there were in their 70s, 80s. In fact, one lady was 100 that was sitting there, if you can imagine, and one of the ladies came up and just asked me, she said, you know, I can see you're really, really fervent and have such great convictions about the Bible, and that's good, but can't we just all have the Bible, just have it meet what it means to each of us individually? Just can it be just subjective, and we can call it a holy book, and it can be just what it means to me, and then if it means somebody else, something other to somebody else, then that can be good for them, too. And I said, well, if that were true, then we would have no way of identifying false teachers. If we have no ability to determine sound doctrine, to identify what the Apostle Paul warned time after time and ripped his clothes and wept bitter tears because of his fear of false teachers coming in to as wolves in sheep clothing, masquerading as servants of righteousness coming in, then it would be just whoever you want to have, because it's just subjective, and there's no objective criteria by which you can judge teaching any longer.
Well, of course, it does the purpose-driven church encourage, does it encourage Bible study?
Well, it encourages translations, and he quotes translation after translation that is blurred and diluted the meanings of passages, major passages of Scripture that I've compared one after another, and that opened the door to New Age kind of thinking and other religions. And so people, if you blur the line enough, pretty soon people don't know where the line is or if there's a line.
Well, this is my fear. All right, fine. Well, we're going to be back in just a moment. Again, James, get your website out there one more time.
Okay, just go into the Google search engine and type in James Sundquist, S-U-N-D-Q-U-I-S-T, comma, false teachers. It'll be the first one that pops up, Abrahamic faith.
All right, we'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We've got about 3 minutes to wrap up the program. So what thoughts would you like to leave with our listeners today, James?
I'm just praying and hoping that all of you, whatever program you're in, whatever you're doing at your church, that you start at the very beginning of any teaching and test the teaching and go hold it up right against Scripture to see if the teaching is there. And I've helped as a teacher trying to do that and help you do that by pointing out the teachings that Rick Warren's brought in and then comparing it line by line with Scripture. But I can't be you. You all have to be good Bereans and test spirits to see if they be of God, and if it's not found in Scripture, then run for your life. And I hope that my Global Peace Plan versus Scripture will help you do that, as well as my book, Who's Driving the Purpose-Driven Church, which is available through Dr. Stan's ministry, as well as Southwest Radio Church, our publisher.
All right, fine. So do we get them from Southwest? They do a great job of getting this information out, and of course, we need to do that as well. Well, I think it's so vitally important that people understand that there is something new in Christendom, and that is changing the entire thrust away from the traditional hymns and songbooks, and making Christianity much more interesting and much more entertaining, and then, of course, getting away from some of those old outmoded ideas that God is a judgmental God. We are told now that God is just, he's sort of transformed now. He just loves everybody, and if we just love everybody and love one another, everything's going to be fine. And I think we should love one another. And I think God is a God of love, but I think he's a God of justice, and I think he's a God of judgment. And I fear very much that we are going to see God's judgment on our country in the near future. I fear we are going to have a World War III. I think this is what all the talk about the necessity of attacking Iran before they get the nuclear bomb, and Syria before they get the nuclear bomb, and we're afraid of their getting a nuclear bomb. So we're going to have to probably either bomb them with conventional or maybe nuclear bombs. And if we do, why, we will inflame the entire Islamic world against us. Could these things be happening? Could we be actually seeing the prologue to the great battles that are described in Ezekiel 38 and 39? Well, I simply, what do you think of that, James?
Well, Dr. Stan, you know, it's got to happen sometime. It's not going to go on forever and not happen. Persia will be one of those countries, and Persia, being today what we know as Iran, is being one of those countries, and the countries from the north. In the time of the end, there will be a point which all the nations of the earth will surround Israel to take it out.
So, hey, we're out of time. God bless. Talk to you later.
God bless.
Well, yeah, this is Dr. Stan, and I hate to be critical about anything going on, but I think that when I see that Christendom is changing, I see the thrust of the change of the church. Let me suggest James Sundquist's book, Who's Driving the Purpose-Driven Church, and then Deceived on Purpose by Warren Smith. We have a four-tape set on the church growth movement. We have an excellent DVD on the church or video. It's called Diaprax, and we certainly recommend this to you. All of these things are available by calling 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. I can suggest the website, Barrett-Joseph's website, crossroad.to, crossroad.to. Barrett has some wonderful and very, very well-thought-out information on what's going on, including the fact that the Council on Foreign Relations invited Rick Warren to come back and talk to them. Now, why would they be so interested in what he's doing? Because there's a spiritual force behind the Council on Foreign Relations. The same thing is true of the United Nations, which is to be the one world government. The one world government of the Antichrist, in my opinion. And they've invited Rick Warren to come to talk to them. But this is not a local thing. It's in Africa today. Rwanda is to become the first purpose-driven country. It's in Europe. It's sweeping the earth. And I really think that we need to know about it and understand what's happening. I think we need to be able to read the signs of the times. We have a four-tape set on music in the church. We have two books, The Crisis in Christian Music, Part 1 and Part 2. And you need to understand the impact that music has on your heart and your mind and your soul. And then to understand everything that's going on today, I spent some of last night almost 3 hours watching a new DVD. It's called The Secret History of America's Beginning. The Secret History of America's Beginning, The New Atlantis. And I will tell you, it is the best DVD we have. It's put out by Chris Pinto, who put out Megiddo 1 and Megiddo 2, which we carry. But this is by far his best DVD. It was actually financed by our good friend David Bain, who produced this, and they put a great deal of money into the production. But it is unparalleled. It is the best movie we have to explain to you the fact that there really are secret organizations. And this goes back many thousands of years to the formation of these secret societies and what has been their goal, a one-world government and a one-world religion, and to reconstitute lost Atlantis. In fact, America is to be the new Atlantis. You will see their emblem on the back of the dollar bill. What is a pyramid capped by a glorified eye doing on the back of the dollar bill? You'll want to see this DVD. It's called The Secret History of America's Beginning. And I will tell you, it is a DVD you want to watch several times and you want to get other people to watch. The Secret History of America's Beginning, we recommend to you. I happen to appear in it, despite the fact I happen to be in it. You will find it an excellent source of information. And then, of course, you want to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You want to get William Still's book, because he is in that, The New World Order. If you haven't seen the Bill Steblin's videos, they are part of our secret government four-tape set. He certainly appears in this. But they've gone all over the world interviewing leaders and getting at the background of Francis Bacon. And people say, who is Francis Bacon? Well, he is probably the most influential man as far as what's going on in America today and America's current foreign policy. He died in 1623 or 1628, something about that time. Anyway, in the 1620s, You need to have the information. Of course, you need to help us get it out across America. Understand we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men, the survival of Western civilization. We're moving into a crisis situation, and you need to begin making preparations for the difficult times that lie ahead spiritually, financially, physically. But you need to help us, of course, bring the truth to people here in the United States and throughout the world. If you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family, give us a call, 1-800-544-8927, and pray for America, pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection.